After a rocky start, Philadelphia public school kids have been fully learning online for 3 weeks now. That means my fourth grader, Gil, has gotten some much-needed structure for his day. A lot of parents welcome that structure, but for others, school has become just one more thing to juggle that they don't have time for.
It does give them something to do, which is important, but I can't, there's no normalcy for me.
How well have online schools been working? And how do we measure success as we start to think about what school will look like in the fall? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt has been talking to parents and teachers, trying to get a handle on how online school is going. Avi, as we've talked about here, school during the pandemic, particularly in Philadelphia, was really kind of a mess in most of March and April. Can you just describe what school was like in the kind of the first weeks of the pandemic?
Back when schools first closed in mid-March, they were only closed for a couple of weeks. And so what the school district did was basically say, we're not sure we can actually go to online education because we're not sure, we know, a lot of students don't have the technology needed to participate online. And so they basically just put everything on pause. And so that was kind of the state of play when I met a couple of parents, Andrea Clark.
I have four kids that go to three different schools in the district.
And Tamwa Wright.
I have two sons. One is in fifth grade and another one's in seventh grade.
And they at that point had basically been out of school for a month, and there was some sort of informal instruction going on with some teachers, but really
the work wasn't necessarily mandated. I mean, some teachers were assigning work, some teachers were totally quiet.
I'm not a very structured mom, so this is very challenging for me.
Then it became clear that this was going to be a long absence, and there were some new instructions from the state and the federal government to make more of an effort to do online instruction. And so the school district of Philadelphia spent much of late March and early April buying and then distributing tens of thousands of laptops so that students could actually get online, students who didn't own them at home.
Okay, so after the school district handed out laptops, what changed about the way that the school district did online school?
In a phased-in way, they have basically moved towards a system where, you know, it's more like school in the sense that students are, to the extent that they're able to, you know, required to attend or show up or participate. They're allowing teachers to grade assignments, although there's some sort of checks on that. You can't hurt a student's grade too much with whatever happens through the rest of the school year. But let's just suffice it to say there's grading happening now. And so it's just a more formal version of school with some of the normal checks and balances that come with any sort of school exercise.
And so what's been Andrea and Temwa's experience since this more formal education started?
Andrea, since online school has started, has been okay with it, and it's kind of optimistic. Part of it was that, and Andrea totally admitted this, which is that
I have not been working. I think the last day that I worked was March 15th.
So she's at home and she's not working. So she's just able to dedicate more time to this. And I think that's a huge, huge part of the equation. She has a couple of older kids, and it seems like they're sort of okay on their own.
My oldest has a lot of work, but she's 13. She's in seventh grade. She's very self-sufficient. Caleb is doing, he's number two. He's a sixth grader. He's doing pretty well.
For her youngest, who's in kindergarten.
On a good day, I would say, on a really good day, I would say I've been able to get them to sit down for like an hour and a half. But on a bad day, when like I don't have it in me, he's probably done like 15 minutes.
And so I think that just speaks to the fact that for the younger grades especially, this is really hard to do virtually.
Yeah, kids have limited attention for Zoom meetings.
Yeah, for sure. And Tamwa.
Oh, hey, Avi.
Has basically said to me, like, I don't even know if maybe we should just go back to the way it was before, because
oh my God, it's been a really stressful day. Lots of things going on. Okay, hold on real quick. Hold on. I'm going to talk to you, but I have to pause something. Okay.
It seems like more of a burden than it's worth.
It's been extremely difficult for me because I work and I work from home and I can't. Part of having school, it helps me as a parent be able to actually work.
For kids and her kids, the first instinct when they want help is just to ask the person that's in the room, or in this case, in the house with them. So when that's her, it's like they go up to her and they say, I need help with this thing. And she's like, well, you need to ask your teacher. And they're like, well, you know, I don't want to email my teacher. I'm not going to get a response right away. She's sitting there thinking like, well, I don't know the context of this question you're asking me. I'm not doing this fifth grade curriculum with you, and I don't really understand what your problem is.
And I've literally this week I was like, guys, you're on your own. You know what you need to do. Check your assignments, do the work, but I'm not checking the quality of their work. I'm not checking whether they're completing it or not, because I'm so behind on my job. It's so frustrating.
So that was the parents that you spoke with. What about teachers? How are they feeling about these first few weeks of actual online school?
It's hard for me to answer like in any sort of comprehensive way about how teachers are feeling. I did spend a week, the first week of online education, doing intensive regular check-ins with one teacher named Lauren Ballister, who works at a school in Northeast Philadelphia, a public school, and just sort of followed her throughout the week, and she kept like an audio journal.
I'm seeing there's now 9 assignments that have been turned in from one of my sections, and for some reason making me really emotional. It's like almost half the class.
And for her, that felt like okay. It felt like sort of a measured success because she just wasn't sure at all what to expect.
I just wish that I could be looking at them in person. It's very hard, but I'm also really glad that they're all doing the work. It's a lot more than I would have thought at 2:30 on the first day. So, whew.
But, you know, there was also half the kids that sort of weren't around, didn't really participate. And there was this sort of this weird looming question, just like, what happened to those kids? And we don't know. One of the things that was interesting about talking with Lauren over the course of that week is that there was just these little problems that would pop up that were so minor and could be fixed so easily in a normal situation, but like were difficult to fix. So, for example, she gave all the students this assignment to respond to a chapter or two of a book. And
okay, one of these reading assignments, one of my students put the answer for the wrong book. Yikes.
A bunch of the students just misinterpreted or misread and responded to the question, but for a different book that they'd already read. And she had to have all these separate, like, sort of digital conversations with all these sixth graders about like what the assignment actually was.
Obviously, if this was happening in the classroom, it would be very easy to help and intervene.
And it would have taken like 5 seconds, you know, in a normal classroom. But this took up a bunch of her day. Those are little things, but they accumulate.
I'm feeling incredibly frustrated that I can't just like reach them immediately.
Can we generalize at all here? Has it been bad for everyone?
But I'd say overall, it seems like people are frustrated. I think what's difficult is it's really hard to extrapolate from a handful of anecdotes. And there really isn't some sort of, you know, codified way of measuring whether this is working. And if this indeed drags into another school year, or we have to do it again, I think there will be more pressure to figure out on a system level whether this is actually working.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov, talking with WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Avi says the typical tools that schools use to measure academic success aren't really in place right now.
You know, usually there's standardized tests around this time of year in Pennsylvania. They're not happening this year, so we're not really going to know whether students, like, backslid a lot in the last month or so. You know, there isn't really any sort of standardized way of keeping attendance across the state right now. It's sort of been left up to school districts, and it's just very difficult because schools are doing online education a lot of different ways. So you have some schools where it's what they call synchronous learning, right? So the students and the teachers are interacting in like a video chat live. So you could track attendance to that, but some schools aren't doing that. They're doing this, you know, more of a system where they assign something and then someone has to return it like a week from now. Well, like, how do you do attendance in a situation like that? Just like, it's hard to figure out like what should count. And I also just don't think like evaluation is the priority in this crisis mode.
And Avi, if we don't do sort of good evaluation, figure out how to do good evaluation, what are the sort of consequences of that for students?
Well, I think we're going to be left not quite sure how badly students were hurt by this entire experience. And so I think you can imagine being, let's say you're a sixth grade math teacher, and whenever you come back, you're trying to figure out, for my students, like, do I start them with sixth grade math or do I go back to the middle of fifth grade? Like, where are they? We're all going to be trying to figure out how much did missing these few months of in-person school really hurt students. And I think it's also important just for us as a society to know what students were missing. Like, what was the cost of not having students go to school for these many, many numbers of days? It would be nice to know how big that is, so we know that, you know, this is the trade-off that we made. We kept students home from school in order to stop a deadly disease, and this was the cost of that educationally. And once you know that, you can sort of better strategize about how to make up that difference or make up that gap. But if you don't know, you're kind of just left guessing.
Do you see the school district taking any steps before next year to try to get a handle on how things are going overall, to try to restore some of those metrics?
I'll speculate a little on that just to say that I think the general direction of things, if this goes into next school year, would be to formalize it more, right? And to raise the bar and to raise expectations a little bit. So you could have a more formalized attendance tracking process. Perhaps we'll see assessments come back next year and we'll have a sense of whether students, you know, statewide have really suffered from this in the short term. But I still think it's going to be difficult regardless. It's going to be difficult to do testing probably even next spring. It's going to be difficult to track attendance because you're going to get pushback from people who are saying, well, how do you know if a student isn't there because they're, you know, ditching their schoolwork, or because they don't have internet, or they were displaced from their home, or, you know, their computer broke?
How does the Philadelphia School District say they're measuring success?
I asked that question recently to the superintendent, William Height.
So a couple of ways, Avi, and I think that's a thank you for that question, and I wish more people would ask this. I mean,
And it was an interesting answer. I mean, he certainly wasn't going to commit to any sort of numbers or metrics or saying we're using such and such evaluation system. The bar that he said actually was that they just wanted to make sure that students were staying in touch with teachers and teachers were staying in touch with students.
I want them to maintain that relationship with that teacher or school person that they have established a relationship with. And so more for me, this is more about us making connections with children who are experiencing something they haven't experienced before.
So that's a little squishy maybe, but I think it also gives you a sense of where their heads are at, which is that they're seeing this really as a triage situation.
We know that there is some natural regression that happens over the summer. And because we've been out of school since March 15th, that regression could actually start a lot earlier, which could mean that children could actually go backwards. And so we're trying to reduce that to the extent, to the best extent possible.
You know, I'm a parent in the Philadelphia School District, and like the ones that you talk to, I can obviously only speak for my own child who's in the district. I mean, I'm sort of cautiously optimistic that he's going to continue to get better at online school. He's, you know, sort of managing his time. Okay, this is my son is in fourth grade. But I have to say, I have another fear about continuing online school into next year. And that's that he's not going to get to do a lot of the things that he typically does at school, like playing with his friends. He can't interact with his peers in person. And these are things that just school normally provides. Is there a way to measure the impact, or do we know anything about the impact of not kids not having that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any research that I could show you right here, right, that tells you this is what the impact is. But I could certainly say that from talking to parents and teachers about this, that's what they're noticing a lot, you know, more than anything. They feel like, whether it's their students or their own kids, they're feeling isolated. And that school does a lot of things besides just deliver instruction. You know, one thing that I remember Lauren saying to me is that this really sort of cuts through any notion that school is about sort of like, you know, kids coming in, sitting in a room, opening up their brain, and you just, like, you know, dumping the content into it. I mean, it's so much more complicated than that. It's a social experience. And I think one of the ways that people are missing it most right now is what you just talked about, the social aspect of school.
The way they socialize just kind of like happens. It's not necessarily intentional. Most of them, when I've talked to them and I've asked, like, have you talked to any of your classmates? Most of them say they haven't. And if they have, it's like maybe one person that they've been talking to.
Now, I couldn't tell you that missing that for 2 months at the end of a school year is going to change someone's life. But we, of course, have heard that this could be our reality on and off for 1 or 2 years. That could be pretty disruptive. I don't know that, but I think it's fair to at least worry about it.
Avi, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Shai.
Avi Wolfman-Arendt is WHYY's education reporter. How's online learning going for you and your family? If you're a parent, a kid, a teacher, we want to hear what's working for you and what's not. Email us a voice memo with your name and age at thewhy@whyy.org, and we may share what you've got to say on the podcast. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.